again to the speakers. If you weren't in the room earlier, we have water here in case you get in trouble. You can mix you a glass of water. Also, if you have pre-selected to record your presentation, we have to use the mouse pad to highlight where that'll be picked up by the recording device. If you have not selected to pre-record, you can use the laser pointer we have here up at the right. All right, do we have any other business anybody in the room needs to announce? All right, so I'd like to thank this time again. We've had people move in and out of the room, but this is the master's oral competition, 4S, 4S8, and we had generous donations from our sponsors to make this happen, and I'd just like to acknowledge those sponsors again, which is Agrium, J.R. Simplot, Coke, as well as Potash Corporation. All right. Our next speaker in the room. All right, our next speaker is going to speak on site-specific recommendations for smallholder farmers and the portability soil test kit comparison. Fugais. And again, here's the computer. I will to our speakers. I will stand up at 10 minutes. At 12 minutes, I'll move towards you. And at 14 and a half minutes, I'm coming up behind you to pull the plug.
Floor is yours. All right. My name is Joe Fujisi. I'm from International Fertilizer Development Center, and I'm actually doing a master's at Auburn University. This speech is going to be about a specific recommendation for small farmer holders comparing some portable soil test kits. Just a presentation outline. We're going to have a brief introduction, the objectives of this, the three different soil test kits that we use, a brief on the results, and then also we did perform a greenhouse experiment to see the correlation of dry matter and plant uptake compared to those soil test analysis. We're going to go through a conclusion and some of the future works that we're looking forward to do. So, in introduction, we all know that fertilizer recommendations need to be not only crop specific, but also need to meet the soil and climate conditions. This is very important for site specific recommendations. We're looking at, especially in fertilizer application investments, we should correlate the right proper soil analysis and physical properties. And the outcome of all this is just to try to help the small farmer holders to have a more efficiency in their crop production. Some of the roles on soil test kits, the good thing is they're mobile and they will provide a very quick soil analysis, especially in remote regions, right, where they're not actually a lab close by or a reliable lab. They will probably save a lot of time and cost to the small farmer holders. So the justification for this work is because we still think in the near future, for the next 5 or 10 years, most of those recommendations are still going to depend a lot on the wet chemistry analysis. And the problem is some of those remote locations, we're trying to come up with figure out the right way to do a remote analysis on developing countries. So some of the objectives of this project, we look to evaluate three soil test kits. Two of those we chosen was Kasetsart from Kasetsart University in Thailand, Hotch. The reason that we chose those because we, IFDC already have done several projects using those test kits and actually has done a lot of use in the field, especially in Rwanda, Afghanistan, and Thailand. And we decided to incorporate the third one, a soil dock, because it has been added in a lot of countries in sub-Saharan Africa. So for this project, we decided to evaluate only the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, along with pH. With the greenhouse experiments, we look at compare those performance with dry matter and nutrient uptake. So here's the three soil test kits that we're working on: Soil Dog for Columbia University, Cassette Star from Thailand, and the Hutch. A quick table comparison to their capabilities and their costs. Cassette Star was a very simple soil test kit that we only do pH, ammonia nitrate, phosphorus, and potassium. Soil Dog has a little bit more capabilities. And Hutch, it depends on the model that we select. For some reason, we select the soil irrigation and water, but you can actually get just an NPK soil test kit. Just a quick schematic of the soil test kit, how it works. Usually one extraction for to do a soil pH, and then depends on the soil test kit, we're going to have different extractions, or follow one extraction with different chemicals adding to analyze nitrogen, phosphorus, or potassium. So overall, for a cassette SAR test kit, it was a very easy and quick analysis. And one of the problems that we had, the color schemes chart, it was a little hard to see it in some cases. The result of those analyses are done all colorimetric, and it will provide the semi-quantitative analysis. Some of the recommendations that this kit gives is the university has already developed an app that will that they use the crop modeling system DSET to provide recommendation for those small farmer holders, specifically in Thailand. They have done a very good database in Thailand. Soil Dock is one of the modern test kits. It might be a little bit expensive to the smallholder farms, and does require a little bit of laboratory skills for you to perform some of those tests. The results, you actually can use a handheld tablet that you input your data, and you provide you real-time recommendations. Hutch, the third soil test kit, is very easy to use also. Again, it could be a little bit expensive depending on what kind of farm you're looking at it. The results, just like the cassette SAR, is looking at colorimetric color chart. And for the recommendations, they have done a calibration based upon target yield and a specific crop that they will send with the kit. So for our test, we decided to go with 8 different soils that we had at IFDC. Those soils were based on to represent a wide range of pH, organic matter, and different texture. This is the table that will probably show a little bit better where we mentioned about the differences. We're going to focus on brownfield, greenfield, and Hiwassee in this case, because that's the soils that we actually went ahead and did a greenhouse experience with. Here is just correlating some of the results, the wet chemistry, with all the soil test kits pH. Overall, it showed a pretty good correlation on pH using any of those three soil test kits. In terms of nitrate, Soil Dock and Hutch, the first two, it does show a decent correlation, and cassette SAT a little bit. In terms of phosphate, there was not a very good correlation all the way through it. One of the reasons could be is because even the labs for wet chemistry, depending on the pH of the soil, there's a different extraction associated to extract some of the phosphate. So that was not a very good correlation overall for phosphate. Potassium, Soil Dock shows a little bit better, but Hutch and cassette SAR did not have a very good correlation. So after that, we did the greenhouse experience. So what we're trying to see here was the response between the soil chemical analysis with the soil nutrient available to the plants. For this experience, we were going to analyze for dry matter and nutrient uptake, such as nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. And on the right side is just the treatment tables that we decided to go with for this greenhouse experiment. A quick summary table to focus on those three soils that we mentioned, the four test methods that we use: the wet chemistry, the Soil Dock, the Hutch, and the cassette start. and the different nutrient analysis from each one of those soils. Just a few pictures to show the response to just a visual response to those. The brown field, we saw there was a lot of response to the minus P in terms of dry matter treatment. Green view, not so much. Overall, show pretty good dry matter and uptake. And then the Hiwassee, the pictures is not so good, but the minus P also has shown some response to the minus P treatment. Now, just to compare some of the wet chemistry with just in nitrogen for dry matter and nitrogen uptake. Overall, this was okay correlation until we got to the Hiwassee soil. The Hiwassee soil is the high point on those two charts. One of the reasons that we think that is because the Hiwassee soil has a very high organic matter content. So that's why we didn't see a very good correlation on that point. Looking at the phosphorus treatments, dry matter and uptake with phosphorus compared to the wet chemistry. As I mentioned before, probably because the different pHs and the extraction methods, we did not were able to see a very good correlation compared to the wet chemistry and compared to the different soil test kits. As you can see, soil dog and the hatch does not show a very correlation with dry matter. As the same as the P uptake. So they both show similar trend to, soil dog show similar trend to the wet chemistry analysis, but not very good correlation. When we're looking at potassium, the dry matter and the K uptake for potassium against the wet chemistry. As we can see, the uptake side, it show a very good correlation between the wet chemistry. But when we look at the dry matter, again, the point in the middle is Hiwassee soil. One of the things that we're looking at here is relative dry matter percent. What we think is the low pH probably has to do some aluminum toxicity that we use the recommended rates to set to 100%. So that's probably why the Hiwassee soil show a little bit higher dry matter than supposed to. In terms of comparing the wet chemistry and the soil test kits, again, soil docs show a similar trend to the wet chemistry, but not a very good correlation. In terms of uptake, soil doc and wet chemistry did show a very good correlation with the K uptake, but the hatch soil test kit still didn't show a very good correlation. So, some of the conclusions that we get from this, overall there was a good correlation for pH testing all those soil test kits compared to the wet chemistry. In terms of nitrate, there was a good correlation between some of the soil test kits with the wet chemistry. The phosphorus overall did not have a good correlation at all. And potassium, just the soil doc, we were able to see there was a good correlation between uptakes. Overall, we know that we still need improvement to analyze those three nutrients, especially with respect with plant response. But we believe that for now, those recommendations of portable soil test kit still gives you a baseline information to some of those smallholder farmers. In terms of future work, what we're going to do, we already have 40 soil samples from the U.S. database that we are going to perform using those soil test kits to do a better calibration. There are some collaboration with a field project that are going on in Mozambique. They use one of those specific soil test kits, so we're going to acquire that data. Those same 8 soil samples were actually submitted to also to another laboratory that will use a chromatography analysis to their soil test kits. And also we're going to be looking at different techniques for different portable instruments to do some soil test analysis, in special spectral analysis. So everybody knows that FTIR and near-infrared has been used to do on-site soil analysis. They will provide a very detailed soil properties. Has a lot of resources has been used to improve this method, and then just a small chart here from Robertson from analysis of soil and the fuel using portable FTIR, we can see there's definitely a good correlation. So it's just see how we can use this to a small farmer holding. But by that, thank you very much.
Do we have any questions for our speaker? All right. One question I had, you mentioned earlier that across these three test kits, there were different expense associated with them. Relative to the number of samples you can run on each kit, which one would you choose if you had to use one of these today? First on cost.
Well, based upon cost, I think the cassette start test kit, it's probably the most economic one and show very, very reliable results. But if you look at the cost, I barely went through that, but it showed that SoilDoc has a $4,000 approximately. But in terms of the number analysis, they probably came down to about the same as the cassette start, the cost per analysis. So the problem is it's probably going to be your initial investment. If you have that $4,000 to do it, that'll be good. But for now, I think the cassette start, in terms of cost, will probably do it better.
Do we have any more questions for our speaker? All right, if there are no more questions, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.